The Red Sox open up a series with the Oakland A's tonight. You'll hear it here on the Pulse, WZON. Let's talk a little Red Sox right now as we go to Boston on the Tiller and Rye telephone line and connect with Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. Brian, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Doing well. Looks like things are getting a little testy there around Yawkey Way, an upset John Farrell, Pablo Sandoval snapping at Steve Buckley. Is it getting a little bit tense?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. That's certainly going to happen when things aren't going well, when an expensive, high-priced team, high-priced players are starting to hear it from the media a little bit. There was a little testy again with insurance, and today I met with the media, and there were some questions about Nelly Ramirez in left field. And, these guys care a lot about what they do, and, certainly they don't like the perception, especially the perception they're not trying. And Sherrington doesn't like the perception that some of the guys he signed, aren't trying. So it's certainly tough times. This is not what – I don't think anybody expected this team to be this bad, even if you didn't, share in all of the optimism coming into the season. It certainly looked like it was going to be a better year than this. So it's trying times on Yawkey Way for sure.
The newest acquisitions, Ramirez, Sandoval, did they perhaps misunderstand what the level of scrutiny would be in coming to Boston?
I always wondered if Sandoval did. I feel like Ramirez would understand, not just from being in the organization coming up, but from knowing David Ortiz, knowing Dustin Pedroia, it seemed like he would at least have an idea of it. Sandoval, I always wondered about whether that would work or not. People talk about, he's played on the big stage, he's played in the World Series. Well, he's had a lot of success in the World Series, and, Boston's easy to deal with when you have a lot of success. Nobody has any trouble here if you're having success at times like these. That every player goes through. There was no way Sandoval was going to play 5 years here and not have a bad month. It happens. It happens to every single player. So the question is how you deal with that and how you deal with that when you start getting questions about it, be those questions fair or unfair. And Sandoval is generally kind of a happy-go-lucky guy, but, it seemed in spring training already that he was bristling a little bit when he got asked about the Giants thing. He had made some comments about the Giants. And he reacted strongly when people started talking about his weight. There's that picture of him that I think Boston.com published, and he didn't like that very much. So yeah, I think he may be kind of getting an introduction. He may not have quite realized what he was getting into. That's not to say he can't have success. He's a streaky hitter. He's had a hot streak. He's had a cold streak. He can still be an effective player. But yeah, personality-wise, or at least in terms of this environment, he may be learning, what it really is like to play in Boston.
You don't think he's treading into Carl Crawford territory yet, do you?
Not yet. I mean, and Crawford seemed especially sensitive to it, and I wouldn't go there yet. But, I think my partner Tim Britton and I talked about this even in spring training after the weight thing, that it wasn't a good sign. Yeah, Crawford's the classic example of a guy whose personality just didn't fit. I wouldn't go there yet, because I do think that Sandoval's got an ability to kind of let things go more than Crawford does. That's to kind of let the water roll off his back a little bit. But at this point, certainly when he's struggling, you can tell. I mean, obviously struggling is bothering him. Like, that independently is going to bother him. It's embarrassing to make the errors that he's made, especially when you're generally a good defensive player. Time will tell on that front. But I think the odds are good that he's going to at least take to it better than Carl Crawford did.
If you're looking for positives, one of the things that I've been noticing is the development of some of the younger players, whether it's Blake Swihart or Mookie Betts. But really, the crouton on the salad has to be Eddie Rodriguez, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's certainly – and I would throw Xander Bogaerts into that, too. I think Bogaerts has come a long way in the last couple of months. But, yeah, Eddie Rodriguez is certainly the big shining light of the last few weeks, where very little else has gone right. And it's just two starts. He's got a 0.61 ERA, and nobody thinks he's going to carry that going forward. But, yeah, to have somebody come up and make that sort of impact, especially in the starting rotation that didn't seem to have a lot of upside, it just seemed like a lot of mediocrity. That was certainly the perception. They hadn't done anything to change that perception in the start of the season. So that Eduardo Rodriguez has pitched the way he has so far, it's really important for this team. He could be really important. You don't want this guy to just suddenly have all the pressure of being an ace, but at the same time, you have to get this sort of impact. We have so much faith in our guy going tonight. We feel like he's going to shut down the opposition. To have that sort of impact already from a young guy could be really important.
Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal with us here on Downtown. The Sox did make a move, shipping off a minor leaguer to get Alejandro Diaz from the Orioles. really, though, options at this point in the season are a bit limited. Are they better off to look to their own system or to try and make some more of these smaller deals?
Well, you're not going to see a major deal. I mean, the Mark Trumbo deal aside, Ben Sherrington keeps saying there aren't those major deals to be had yet, and you tend not to see those. You know, maybe late June you start to see them. You have to have some teams that are basically giving it the ghost, and you're not really going to see that all that often this early. You know, the Phillies, you know, have been willing to trade Cole Hamels this whole time, but other than that, most teams are still going to want to try and contend, and it's going to take longer than this. The day out of the deal was interesting. One thing that was kind of curious about that was that it seems like he's kind of a Jackie Bradley-esque player, and you wonder why Jackie Bradley didn't get the call-up instead. But Sherrington talked today about how Zayas has had experience in a limited role, and it's, you know, in part unfair to Bradley just as it was the last time he came up. You know, he played 3 times in 2 weeks, and two of those games were against Sonny Gray and Felix Hernandez, and he didn't get a hit because that's not a role he's accustomed to. I think when they bring him up, they want him to play regularly, or at least somewhat regularly, and not be a, you know, twice a week sort of guy, and that's probably what Zayas is going to be.
Since he's had so much success in the first two starts that he's had, Rodriguez has given me some hope that some of the other guys that are down on the farm aren't exactly going to turn into Brian Rose. How far away is a guy like Brian Johnson?
I don't think he's very far away at all. I think he could, if they needed him, I think he could help them right now. But they have 6 starters now. Stephen Wright's been fine. Now, that Stephen Wright's that guy, that this is why they want to hang on to him, is that, you know, we've seen over the years, over these last few years, you know, the Red Sox have run out of pitching and they've had guys that have just been disastrous. You know, starting with the tail end of that 2011 season into 2012, they need effective, decent starting pitching. Stephen Wright represents that. So they wanted to give him a shot. Joe Kelly still offers such upside. You know, there's some refinement that needs to happen. Maybe at some point that happens AAA. And we'll see how, you know, the next turn through the rotation goes. But he's got that, he's got an upper 90s fastball already. He's got good secondary stuff. He just kind of needs to figure out how to use it. So there's just not really space for Brian Johnson at this point, but he sure is a nice guy to have down there. Just if something were to happen to one of these starting pitchers, they decide they want more upside, even right. I think Johnson could help them right now.
Has Alan Craig done enough to help himself in the minors that he can either be a part of this roster or that he's gained some value back for them to be able to trade him to another team?
He's going to be really hard to trade with that contract. He's got to show a lot more. It's just there's got to be more time. I mean, 2 or 3 good weeks in AAA. is not going to convince another team to take on $25 million in contract for a guy who's done what he's done over the last calendar year. It's tough, too, because now they've got that contract. Now that he's off the 40-man roster, they don't have to pay the luxury tax on that contract. So that's another obstacle working against him if they were to try and bring him back up. You know, they have to put him back on the 40-man roster, and now that counts against the luxury tax again. So that's a consideration. I think the big thing is, They just need to be able to play him. And if they're not going to play him regularly, it's sort of the same deal as Jackie Bradley. You know, seeing him play part-time, clearly that didn't work for him. He's not the sort of guy, you know, in contrast to a Mike Karp, who they felt like could handle the part-time role, he's not a guy who did well playing on a limited basis. So if they've got their starting outfielders now, which they do, it's hard to see him coming up anytime soon just to kind of be that once-a-week, twice-a-week, pinch-hitting sort of role.
What's your opinion on Koji Uehara and his status as the closer?
I mean, so far it seems like it. I mean, he's had his ups and downs this season, but you know, especially for a guy who's 40, they've gotten generally what they want out of Koji Uehara. That April pickup, you know, was bad, but he's gotten better. He's been better since then. He's built up arm strength, throwing his fastball better. I don't know that there's too much. I mean, there's some depth worries in that bullpen. You know, a guy like Craig Breslow, he's got to be concerned about, and the bullpen starts with a little shallow. Matt Barnes hasn't been quite as impactful as maybe I think a lot of us thought he might be. But I don't know. On the list of concerns for this team, I guess Koji's not that high for me.
Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. Going to be an interesting weekend, to say the least. Brian, thanks as always. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
16 minutes after 5 o'clock, our Boston Insiders brought to you by Cross Insurance.